The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war would exist sooner. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
Good evening and welcome to 88.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 313, otherwise known as version 3, episode 13. I've forgotten how I said that, so I'm just going to keep going. On tonight's show, Bush defends Katrina, path to Obama glory, Richard commentary, and the post office pussy. All that and inauguration target practice. A Walk in the Black Forest finally tying the knot in New York.
The unfortunately named Dave Graney.
I love the Moodists.
Or the Moodists, particularly with the track that goes out to the, shall we say, rather crappy bailout that Obama's just about to sign off for Chevrolet. That was, of course, Chevrolet Rise was the name of the track.
I think you're obsessed with car bailouts.
Well,
successfully for the past month, you've mentioned a car bailout every show and brought it.
Can I?
You know, I was actually with Pete the other day when he drove in his new car.
Yep.
Through a
provided to me courtesy of Chevrolet, because of the number of mentions I've given them on air.
And how is your Chevrolet tank going?
It's going well, actually. It's going well. As we prefer to call it, the Chevrolet bailout.
Or was bailout, fantastic. Just correct something. You've been following this. Did the Australian bailout of the car industry go through?
I have no idea.
Oh, right, okay.
We'll have to ask Acting Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
Well, I assumed it had.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if it had, why is Toyota now pulling out of all the things they're pulling out of in Australia?
I believe it's similar to the Catholic practice of withdrawal.
I thought we bailed them out, Pete. I thought we bailed them out. Wasn't that the whole point?
Yeah, but see, Richard, you're not... No, I was going to make some stupid references about Catholic birth control, but I couldn't actually work out a way to make it funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, that's a very big CD.
Can I get back to my joke?
Sure.
Yep. So anyway, I was with Pete the other day.
It was a joke.
And we were driving... He was in his new car.
Yep,
and
my,
he was
Chevrolet bailout.
He was driving both of us through McDonald's drive-thru so I could get dinner.
Yep.
And,
I've never actually seen anyone ever order from McDonald's a Big Mac with five extra patties.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
They will do it.
Yeah. Good for vegetarians, because there's only meat in it.
Yes.
Well, not much.
Not much, anyway.
Not much. It's mostly sawdust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I hear. Anyway, I've forgotten my joke now, so I'll move on.
It'd be a Big Mackin.
Feel free to come back to it.
Yeah, no, please work on it.
Oh, it's all right.
No, I was actually going to say that one of the interesting things, of course, this week was the Detroit Car Festival, which they did say, the three major manufacturers did actually scale back a little bit.
Mm.
They only had a quarter-mile test track built into the convention center. normally they'd actually have a half mile test track. They cut it back to a quarter mile test track.
That's such a shame. You know, that's a shame because I don't think we actually get to see the cars truly perform at their best.
No, I agree, and it is a bit of a shame. The other shame, of course, is they actually had to cut the entryway, which normally featured nearly half a mile of live trees and waterfalls.
Wow.
They actually only cut that back to about 20 or 30 metres.
I know what they didn't cut back on.
What?
Girls in bikinis.
I suspect there was
and
still...
boys in surfboards. Boys with surfboards.
Everybody's
rocking. Everybody's grooving. Anyone got
anyway,
it?
Anyway, so hey, while you were at the Detroit Fair,
yes,
did
yes.
you notice any economies? Come did you notice on. Any scaling backs? Did you notice anything that actually indicated that perhaps
yes.
There were no cars?
I did notice something.
Yes.
I noticed a new 4-door SUV.
Uh-huh.
Two doors. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They cut
and
two doors out.
You know what they're doing now? Instead of having 8 gears in your manual race cars,
mm-hmm.
3.
Nice.
Just 3.
That's useful.
Yep. Park.
Yep.
Reverse.
Yep.
Forward.
That's see, it. I've got this really funny joke. Now, normally this is quite rare for me. And,
I thought
mine
was all right.
Those of you who have actually been listeners of Walking About Forest for a long time will know.
And consumers of some of your classic jokes.
Consumers of some of my classic jokes, such as, well, me, generally, have known that while I actually am a humorist of the highest degree...
You never got that degree. You left early to pursue a career in radio.
Well, never let it be said that you set aside a career in radio for something that wasn't necessarily...
Funny.
Funny.
No, that's true, I didn't. That's very true. However, I've got this funny gag, and it's a big gag. It's a funny gag, you know, it's a car-related gag, it's connected.
How can I help you here? How can I help? What do you want me to do?
So see, my problem is that now, see, there's two problems here.
Okay.
Problem number one is that I overthought the gag.
Ah!
See, this is the thing, you're sitting
always
there going...
Always a gotcha, always a gotcha.
See, you sit there and think, it's a good gag, it's a funny line, if I say it, can I actually... Mm-hmm. And you overthink it partially so that you know that you can get the line out without ruining the gag by giggling when no one else is giggling. That's always one of my personal favourites.
Mm-hmm.
Guffawing when no one else is guffawing or giggling vomiting uncontrollably due to the laughter when everyone else is going, what the huh?
Happens
a lot.
The pre-set-up titter.
There is the pre-set-up. You've got to be careful of that. Yep.
Excuse me. This is a G-rated show.
Yep.
No boobs.
Okay, no worries.
Okay, fair enough. Unless Ava approves them first.
I would be happy to approve any boobs in the vicinity.
Mm. Right. Okay, no worries.
Not man boobs.
So, hey, look, I paid for these with good money. Now,
that's not true. They were given to you by Chevrolet because of all the mention.
That's very true.
Well, you don't realise that you actually have, you know, 2 17-inch rims in your chest.
That's nice. Are they those ones that actually go in
spinners.
Alternate directions to the...
They're spinners.
Nice.
A lot of people would pay a lot of money for a 17-inch rim.
No, I think that would be awkward sitting on any kind of normal stool.
Yeah, or airline seat.
Anything about sitting.
Fair point.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Man
so
of
the
science.
Gag, but getting back to the...
So the other half of this, of course, apart from the overthinking, is the issue of the delivery.
The delivery.
Of course.
The character, the persona.
Exactly.
The emotion, the pause.
Exactly. And the timing.
The rhythm.
The timing. The cadence.
The cadence. Definitely the cadence.
It's tough because
and
you
even
know,
the language. I
and
mean,
even
if you do it in French, no one's going to understand it.
Exactly.
Not even you.
Certainly not the French.
Certainly not the French.
So there's the other half of this, of course, which is the fact that you finally work out the exact wording that you'll use, the right rhythm, the right pause.
Yes.
Usually about 6 or 7 minutes after the joke should have been inserted.
Yes.
So now, being a live show as we are, and even when you're listening, even
and
when you're
completely
listening,
scripted,
and completely scripted, even when you're listening to our what's the next line of my set of the thing, even when you're listening to our
show,
that's it. Thank you. When you're listening to our show,
God, you know, Abe and I are at all the rehearsals. Mm. You know, it's just
we rehearse all the time.
I know.
In fact, I have to admit, the last time we rehearsed that shopping trip, that was brilliant.
It was brilliant, wasn't
but
it?
You know what? It was so embarrassing because it took all the stuff to the counter. But of course, it's a rehearsal. We're not going to buy it.
I know.
And the guy had to put it all back on the shelves.
Mm. I know. So,
but that's what they're there for, you know that.
So you. Even if you're listening to our show live, as I said, live on air or live through our website, because every time you download, it's live.
Mm. It is.
I can't go back and insert that joke in the at the most appropriate time.
Yes, you can. We do that. We do that lots. We think the funny
cut
a bit.
Edit point. And now and Pete's got a joke.
In there.
So those two wishes...
Well, I have to edit that one out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those two issues really make the development of this joke, the gestation of this joke, difficult.
Let alone monotonous.
Monotonous. The third part of this, which I think is also really important to point out, is the joke wasn't fucking funny.
Mm. I really like how the third part of the joke... is there in a point that only had 2 points. I've got 2 points, and the third one is that the other two weren't funny.
The joke itself wasn't funny.
Oh, the joke is arguably
a key two, point, I though. Think, were actually...
Well, forgotten. It's arguably a key point.
It is.
Third point.
It is. And see, the thing is, the best part of this is you have absolutely no chance of actually getting this joke. Because I'm going to play a song. And it's got a slow, fading build. You know, people pay good money to have that sort of sampling rate on a song. You know, this is putting me in a difficult position because I may actually have to do the joke, but I'm hoping that Abe will.
I think Abe's got it fixed.
Will have sorted the problem.
Got it.
He has. He rocks. Triple R 88.5 FM.
No master.
The funniest of all of them. I have no idea how that happened.
I don't know.
I think you got to press my button twice. It's the special Pete protection. See, there we go. Because nobody wants Pete on air. This is what first
joke, Pete. We're dying to know the joke. Abe, would you like to know the joke?
What joke?
Because I have absolute faith in your abilities to deliver a joke with all the, you know, the cadence and the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
the rhythm.
So why don't you just take us through the gag and let Abe and I judge... Whether it's a funny joke.
Cock. That's it. That's the gag.
That's funny.
There we go.
It's actually very funny. I don't know why you want.
And that's COQ, by the way, just for the French audience as well.
Cock.
Remember I said that you said not to do it in French? But I thought I'd pick something that the French would also understand. See? Multicultural and funny. This radio station and radio program is working on all cylinders.
I'm working on a joke about rims.
Nice. Anyway,
I thought we'd done one.
Yeah, we had two.
Well, we could have two.
Yeah, I've done several.
So anyway, I've got a funny story.
Okay, you want to go first? Go for it.
And I know this is
what this show is going to be about all night. I've got a funny joke.
No. I know this isn't a comedy program.
No. This is
a bit of an oxymoron.
Serious.
Yeah, I agree so too. Yes, we are serious journalists. Yes. Well, about as serious as Mark Ferguson is now.
Or Peter Overton will be. Is it just me?
I don't know who these people are.
Or does Peter Overton always look like he's laughing at something?
That's true. Although there was an article in today's Daily Smellograph, which was written by former Channel 10 newsreader Tracy Spicer.
And she would know.
Who said that Channel 9 is really hoping that Peter Overton rates like his name over a ton.
Is that a joke?
That was her idea of a joke.
So, hey, I've got a funny story.
Did you know that Tracy Spicer actually was also workshopping a joke about the American car industry?
I've heard that. I hear it's
doing the rounds.
It is doing the rounds.
Doing the rounds.
I actually heard the joke.
Did you?
Was it funny?
Yeah. Cock.
C-O-Q. Wow.
Yeah, cock. Yeah.
Cock.
Yeah. Cock. Which sort of sounds like you're gagging, really, doesn't it?
It's cock. Yeah.
So, there's a small town in Alabama. I believe it's Alabama.
Sweet home Alabama.
Sweet home Alabama.
Sweet home Alabama. That sounds like...
There's a small town in
Alabama. That sounds like Jessica Simpson's version of it.
Sweet home Alabama. Or as they call it, Alabama. You've got to call it Alabama.
All right, so a small town in Alabama.
So there's a small town in Alabama, right?
Yep. Alabama. You've got to say Alabama.
Alabama. There's a small town in Alabama.
Yeah.
He made that up.
Yeah, no, that's what they call it there.
There's a small town in Alabama, and they are having a massive crisis.
Mm-hmm.
In fact...
Is it a joke crisis?
It's a federal government crisis.
It's a crisis of...
In fact, under federal law, it's a very serious crisis. Mm. In fact...
Is this Bush enforced federal law?
Is it what?
Is it Bush enforced? Is it Bush created federal law?
Oh, no. This is long-standing federal law.
Okay, yep.
Part of the problem is...
Do we go back to Jackson?
I thought they were humming along.
They could be. They could be. Though, I'm sure they'd need a hand.
Mm.
The Alabama Post Office is having a major problem. Now, it's been infiltrated. Now, you might think to yourself, terrorists... In fact, if you've seen the movie...
You've only got one post office?
In Alabama, this town in Alabama. Oh, yeah, they don't more than one.
Right, yeah.
if you've seen the Patrick Swayze movie, Red Dawn, have you seen Red Dawn?
Oh, yes, I have seen Red Dawn.
Interestingly enough, the Patrick Swayze movie Red Dawn about the Russian invasion of America, quite cool, Trey 80s, also has Jennifer Grey in it. The first time Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey were in a film together, later to reprise their roles, not the same roles, different roles, but the same actors.
In Dirty Dancing.
People. In Dirty Dancing.
Because I've had the time of my life.
Is that in Dirty Dancing?
Yes.
Really?
If you continue to sing that song, I will impale you with this pen. Okay. Or Richard.
I have a heavy microphone.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Which won't be damaged in any way.
Because I really want to do the Jennifer Warnes part.
So anyway, the point being is, in Red Dawn, that one of the first places they took over was the post office.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
And
the school. They went there and they murdered all the kids. Yeah, go Russians, I say.
That sounds like the plot of Die Hard with a Vengeance that I watched on the weekend. Very close.
There weren't any Russians in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
There were Germans. They're pretty much the same. They're next to each other in Europe.
How are they the same? They fought every war against each other.
They're not next to each other.
I don't know any differences. They're just Europeans.
They were only next to each other.
They're just like that Euro zone.
Really?
They're all the same country.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Yeah. You'd be thinking different if you went there.
That's true. But at the moment, I am a pure blood Aussie. And therefore, I take my holidays in Fiji and get rained in. And I think that all those Europeans are all the same.
You know how we can tell Pete's a true Australian?
How?
On the back of his ute, he's got one of those little Southern Cross stars. Not an actual Southern Cross, just the stars.
No, in fact, I have a tattoo of the Southern Cross.
Really?
On my testicles.
You know, if at any point we get out of the gutter today, it would be great. Okay.
Are you counting cocks?
Take two.
Right. So this small town in Alabama, its post office has become basically invaded.
Yep.
By?
A cat.
A cat.
Now, there's a...
Sounds like your story, Pete.
It does.
There's a small cat.
Are you going to keep this out of the gutter?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
There's a small cat that's infiltrated this particular post office, and they're outraged. The people of Alabama are outraged because, and guess what? This is the big problem with the cat living in the post office. A, he's not a federal employee, and B...
He doesn't have his swipe card?
He doesn't pay tax.
Bastard!
Now, because of these
and
things...
And C, he doesn't have his swipe card.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want no pussy licking my stamps.
Because it's not hygienic, Richard. This is the problem. It's not hygienic. Cats' mouths are dirty.
I know.
They're dirty animals. I don't... Cats, gone, dead, out of here. I hate them. They're there. Dirty animals. Sorry, did I just go a little bit over the top with that?
A little bit.
Okay.
So, because it's caused a major problem...
But I cleaned it up.
The town was actually going to put the cat down. Because generally... The cat just sleeps in the window of the post office, right?
Go.
No, well, not gently. It's like, look, I'm sorry, you have to go. And by the way, you smell.
And we'll have those stamps back, thanks.
So, you know what someone's done? Someone very cleverly...
Euthanized the cat.
No.
Damn. Stuck it in an envelope.
They've hired a large P.O. box, and the cat lives in the P.O. box of the post office.
Why
that
rocks?
Isn't that
so
cute?
Rocks.
But there's so much of an easy solution.
Does it have its own key?
Oh, well, yes, kind of. Kind of has its own key. They took the door off.
Got a cat lover.
So it just shelters inside the little P.O. box.
That's cute, but you've got to love that, don't you? No, cat lover?
You know what I would have done?
Cat lover, you'd love that.
I'm a cat lover. You know what I would have done?
What?
I would have hired a giant, big... Rottweiler, who would have used the cat for dental floss.
And then bitten off your cock, most likely.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, I did not bring my rooster with me.
Is that a quota? Before the show, Abe said to make sure you mention it at least once every minute.
I was going
to
say, we've done fairly well so far. It's a phallic program. Either neither of you are getting anything, or...
And the great thing, that was on TV.
Oh, there's some weird homoerotic action going on over here.
Or both.
Or both. I like how one rules out the other, but you still get both.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
It's very impressive.
It's
so that's my cute little story for the day. I had this idea, this cute little cat sheltering in a P.O. box.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
You're talking to the wrong man.
I call him Muffins.
Do you?
Yes, I named the cat.
Oh, I just don't understand. I don't get cats are cute. They are.
How are they not cute? They're small and furry.
They're just feral animals.
People think Amy Winehouse is cute. She's small and furry.
And feral. Point.
And feral. Yeah, also
fair
true.
Fair point, actually.
When was the last time you saw a cat with a tattoo?
Ooh.
Oh, except the one behind their ear.
Apart from that one.
Gee. No, it's true, you're right. She's a talented girl.
She is.
Talented girl. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important at this point.
But I bet she doesn't have a key to her box.
Everyone else does.
Ah, now you make it dirty. I cleaned it up.
How did I?
I cleaned it up.
Excuse me.
I cleaned it up.
How many times have
you... How can you clean it up with a photo like that?
That really is quite dirty.
How many times have you made phallic references so far today?
Heaps. Absolutely Heaps. None. None of them Heaps. Have been deliberately phallic.
He's been a bad influence on about, the whole
it
show.
It is about your interpretation of my discussions.
What I'm most
you've been a bad influence.
What I'm most disappointed about
mm-hmm.
is the way you've influenced Richard.
I know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know I'm a very influenced guy.
You know, I try to set a good example. You know,
when?
About 1976.
Wow, that was good.
That was when I wasn't sitting next to him.
That's very true. I remember that year.
Yeah, it was a very good year.
I was listening to Kindergarten of the Air, and they announced over the air, they said that Pete's actually setting a good example.
I know. It's a good thing.
And then we're going to move him away from Richard. But that never happened. They promised that, and it never happened.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are less than 2 weeks away from the inauguration. The inauguration of Barack Obama as the next president of the United States. And our dear friend George W. Bush has been doing, shall we say, a little bit of a lap of honor.
Yes.
Being interviewed by various media celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Did his final press conference last night. Went on Campbell Brown's program on CNN. No, he wasn't.
Campbell Brown.
Campbell Brown is a CNN reporter. A CNN host, sorry.
He wasn't in his flight suit with the cucumber down the front?
No, he wasn't in that. No. We'll leave that for the his appearance at the inauguration.
Okay,
Now, there's some big things happening, of course, as part of the inauguration, is that generally... The president-elect stays in a house in Washington by the name of Blair House, no relation to Tony.
How do you know?
Because it says here it's no relation to Tony.
Is it a relation to Blair Witch?
Yes.
You know, I would like that on DVD, and I don't have that on DVD. You can't get it on DVD in Australia.
Can you? Why not?
Nope. That's not around anymore. It's been discontinued.
You know what else you can't get on DVD in Australia?
What?
Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, the long one.
Ah, now, interestingly enough, there is a double disc... which is around, but he's always out of stock. But it is a three-hour cut.
There's an American version. I didn't know they had an Australian version.
As far as I'm aware, it's a newer one. It's only been released within the last July, I think, last year.
I'll check it out.
It's got a white case.
Yeah, and
double disc.
Oh, sorry, I can talk now.
And is it Henry the whatever? What was it? He's Henry the Fifth.
Did you do Henry the Fifth?
I think it was Henry the Eighth, wasn't it? No. It was one on the horse.
He didn't much to do about nothing. One on the horse. No, there was one on a horse.
There was always a horse. It's Shakespeare.
There's a horse.
It's like saying it's out the one without vowel.
Oh, Wilbur.
So
Blair House.
Blair House.
No relation. No relation to Tony Blair, apparently.
Now, of course, Pete says this in an entirely education sense.
Yes. So,
all it would take was you to look it up.
That's true. And it
if
is mentioned...
you're a good journalist.
This was... I only rely on the Canberra Times for my journalism.
Oh, good work.
So, because of... traditionally, the incoming president has always stayed at Blair House. There's a big preparation, obviously, for the inauguration. And all that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting is the fact that John Howard has flown across to the United States yesterday.
And boy, his arm's tired.
Flying first class.
On our taxes.
Probably on his gold card. Flying first class on Qantas. Delaying the flight for well over an hour.
On what airline?
Qantas. While Qantas conducted extra security checks according to the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
According to Qantas, it was just because they were missing a passenger. I believe by the name of J.W. Howard.
He's on a plane. What's someone going to do?
I know.
I can't go, John Howard's on my plane. I'll take a bomb with me. They're already on the plane.
John Howard's on my plane. I'm going to go up there and tell him that he's not a very nice man. Or laugh at him for losing his own seat.
You know the thing that people were saying? They were saying, just because he was on the plane, they did extra security. Wouldn't they be doing... extra security anyway?
I mean, you would think so.
Extra security.
Normal security actually misses some of the security.
Correct.
So when you go on a plane normally,
you're not getting
economy class security.
Exactly right. Whereas he gets first class security.
You could say security light.
Security light, exactly.
Security classic.
Although, if someone likes semi-importance on the plane, you might get economy plus.
You could get economy plus
security.
Security.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get first class security or gold security.
Then perhaps when, say, Sol Trujillo went across to a, I think, really culturally relevant place to have the managers meeting for Telstra this year.
In that case, you'd get a twat.
Which was Las Vegas. Yes, you'd just get a twat. I was going to make
a
joke about
yours?
Yeah, it was, because I was just going with business class security. So, you get a twat.
So do you jump in and top it? Do you not top it?
No, in that one you top it.
I'm pretty much feeling like topping myself right now.
Are you? Excellent.
John Howard.
John Howard. So,
extra security.
Sorry. Extra security.
Who?
Yeah. He's got a good point.
Now, traditionally, as I said, President-elects have stayed in Blair House in order to prepare for their organisation. George W. Bush's administration told Barack Obama to fuck off, I'm paraphrasing there, that he could not stay in Blair House because Blair House was booked. And so they had to take a suite at a nearby hotel, which was the Hayes Adams Hotel. Now, this has caused an enormous amount of activity in the United States on political blogs.
CNN's been covered wall-to-wall with it.
And so has The Daily Show also hammered the...
I didn't see The Daily Show.
The bastion of journalism that it is.
And there are 142 comments on the caucus blog at the New York Times about this very issue. What's actually occurred is John Howard is being given the U.S. Medal of Freedom.
That's right. Wherever there's freedom,
John Howard will be there. Now, he is one of about four people being given a U.S. Medal of Freedom as part of the Coalition of the Willing.
Let me guess. John Howard, Dick Cheney, Tony Blair, and probably Bush himself.
You've got two right.
Right.
And it's not Bush himself or Dick Cheney.
Oh, really? Dickie didn't get a...
Oh, I think Dick will get
many things. Wolfowitz.
No. He's given it also to the president of Venezuela.
Oh, good.
I think also you have to remember that Dick Cheney doesn't need a reward as such. Mm-hmm. His stock options have shot up by 400% since the war, so really he doesn't really need anything.
No, that's exactly right. And to be honest, he's not a member of the executive.
Ah.
He doesn't deserve anything.
No, he says that he is.
Oh, he is now.
Cheney actually changed his role, so he's not only a member of the executive, he's also a member of the legislative as well.
Correct.
He's the only person who ever has been ever.
The biggest argument about Cheney was that there was an interview with Dana Perino, who is the outgoing presidential spokesperson. Right at the White House. Dana Perino?
Dana Perino.
She's kind of hot.
In a sort of like...
Perino kind of way.
Well, I was going to say a sort of right-wing, free-thinking kind of way.
Yeah, she could be a nasty girl.
Bit like why Ann Coulter is considered to be hot.
Yeah, no, dude, she's just a spokesperson.
True, but she is also part of the administration, don't forget.
She's a spokesperson.
True, but she's still part of the administration.
Yeah, you know.
We're agreeing here, guys, so let's move on.
So, Dana Perino was asked
a bitch slap.
She was asked a question about whether... what happens at in the last 2 weeks of the administration?
Yep.
All their emails get seized.
Yeah.
Taken over to
Dick's.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Taken over to presidential archive, and the incoming Obama administration get all new computers. So all their computers
get
destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't go back and recreate and find out what's going on. So they start fresh.
Isn't that kind of a problem?
Sort of.
Considering the administration coming in may want to follow on from the works or fix the works from the last one, don't you think
nutty,
you'd want a paper trail?
That's
you'd
like
think
everything
so.
In the American system, isn't it? Everything's just a little bit twisted.
It's odd.
Well, it's that
odd.
Issue, of course, that the president, as we know, that Obama is still having discussions about two extraordinarily important issues to the future of America, one of which is what sort of dog is he going to buy his daughters?
Yes.
They haven't decided yet.
No,
it's
between a Portuguese water dog and a Labradoodle at the moment. And you think I'm making that shit up, and unfortunately I'm not. And the other half, of course, the other big decision is, how is Obama...
I'm surprised that you know, being a cat lover.
That's true. The other issue, of course, is how is Obama going to deal with being separated from his BlackBerry? Because he's a little addicted to his BlackBerry.
It's interesting, actually, because...
And Twitter too, apparently, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whereas Obama has a BlackBerry, Bush... It's got a whiteberry.
Nice.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It's funny,
weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
So getting back to the story. So generally what's occurred... Cheney, that's right. So the idea is that she was asked a question, so what's going to happen with Cheney? Because Cheney basically said that he wasn't a member of the executive, therefore didn't have to submit his documentation to the presidential archive. He's officially agreed now to submit all his documentation to the presidential archive.
I would
suspect that's left. So what's going to be submitted, I think, is... his Washington Post from that morning, and I think his request for what he was going to have for lunch
Actually,
that day.
I have an...
No, that's now been... That's been destroyed.
Okay, so it's just the Washington Post?
It's just the Washington Post.
Yeah. I have an insider who's told me exactly what emails going to be in clear emails will be included in the archives.
Yep.
The Cheney email that will be included is the Welcome to Microsoft Outlook 6. That's the email.
Nice.
So that will make its way into the archives.
Fantastic. No, there's and one other one. No, I've also got another insider.
Oh, good, yep.
There's going to be another one. Which says that
we'll shut down at 6 p.m. on the 19th of January.
No. That one's probably going to be there too. But I suspect it's the one that I've heard is going to be there is that please give us your bank account details because you've inherited $45,000 from a Nigerian prince.
Mm.
That's going to be there as well.
I liked mine.
You liked yours?
Yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah, okay. I also like the two we did.
Yeah.
That built upon yours. You know,
that's exactly
build
right.
Build on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, exactly right. Standing on the shoulders of giants. Yeah. Shitty Oasis
album. Build. I said build.
Not a shitty Oasis.
You don't have
album.
To correct me.
No,
build,
I just.
If I want to say build, I'll fucking say build.
You can do whatever you want.
Right, good.
Luck hawk. Now,
oh my.
At least you use the masculine.
Thank
God.
You.
God.
Now, getting back to Blair House. Now, because Bush is bestowing an honour upon former Australian Prime Minister and person who I just refer to as. Loser.
And well, you know, I've now read some Australian stories where they're referring to him as
loser.
Prime Minister.
Well, that's the thing.
Which is the US thing, right? We talked about that on the show, didn't it?
We did. Now,
well, when they became ex, they still called Mr. President.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, in Australia, you would generally refer to him, and it wouldn't be a problem, as former Australian Prime Minister John Howard.
Yep, or twat.
Or twat. Or loser.
Or one of those three.
Or git.
Or git.
Or
dickface.
Dickface, yep.
Racist... I can't say that on air.
Who is a good one? Who? I like who.
I like who.
Now,
who are
I agree
you?
That one of the things that occurred, supposedly, on the Qantas flight is that that was delayed, was that he was not referred to as former Prime Minister. It says, when you have the Prime Minister on board. Now,
yes.
I don't know if Qantas actually realises that he fucking lost.
He did lose.
I'd say they know, because they're a government organisation.
No, they're not.
Well, they're only a semi-government organisation.
You know.
So, former Prime Minister, or as I prefer to call him, just John Howard.
And not even Mister, it's just Johnny.
Little Johnny
Howard.
Johnny.
Nice guy, Pete.
Toolboy.
I've always said that. You see, I just go for the offensive remarks, but you're
I just call him Toolboy.
No, you call him John Howard.
And then Toolboy.
Know, that's the great thing about you. You're nice.
I know. So, in one final, shall we say, you know, giant middle finger to the incoming Obama presidency.
That finger again.
George W. Bush has booked in John Howard into Blair House and told Obama to get. Now, what's even more interesting now is it's actually come out that Tony Blair, who would have been quite appropriate to stay in Blair House. Declined the invitation, saying he didn't wish to be the man who bumped Obama.
Now, can I just point something out?
It's better than calling it Howard House.
Can I point something out here?
Yes.
Is the irony lost on anybody
that
the person who is staying in Blair House and kicking Obama out was the one world leader who went on television and said that if Obama won, it would be a victory for Al-Qaeda?
Yep.
Do you not think that the Bush people went, this would be really funny,
and
put him in there?
I know.
I think it's entirely on purpose. It
I don't
has
know
to
if
be.
Get that.
But
gag.
Here's the interesting thing.
Oh, come
if
on.
We look
you
at
have
the,
to.
If we look
even
at,
CNN got that gag. It was in the CNN story.
If we look at the tradition, and this is a comment that was made on the Canberra Times blog site. One of the traditions is that Reagan moved...
No, they just mentioned it, you know.
Reagan moved into Blair House on January the 1st, the Clintons moved in December, and the current President Bush threw a boots and ties party at Blair House in early January.
Nothing else, just boots and ties. And a heap of cocaine.
Now, the photo that they use of John Howard basically to me says... I'm in the house and you're not. That's the general photo of him. Now,
is that the only house that he now finds himself in?
I believe he has a house somewhere near Wollstonecraft.
Does he really? Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think it is somewhere near Wollstonecraft. Now, this is quite, as I said, this has caused huge, huge waves of not protest, but shall we say
outrage
in the United States. And I don't overestimate that. There has been lots of commentary.
Or laughter.
CNN, as they point out, has made a very big story of it. Like, why is some former Australian Prime Minister taking over the space that should have been allocated to incoming President Barack Obama?
They do take somewhat of a comedy angle to it. They see it as a bit of a joke. In fact, the punchline to the CNN story was, wouldn't it be funny if they shared the same room? They could swear at each other.
Wouldn't it actually be really funny if they actually did meet? Because if my memory serves me correct, that whilst the primaries are on, John Howard didn't exactly have some nice things to say about Barack Obama. Let me just try and remember here. I think it was something along the lines of, Al-Qaeda are going to be praying for an Obama victory. Do you remember that line?
You know, I actually remember that line from about 3 minutes ago when I said it.
Yeah, I remember it from about 3 minutes.
Was it about 3 minutes ago?
Yeah, about 3 minutes.
No, I don't remember that. See, I don't listen to you.
Pretty sure
I never listen to you. Who are?
The funny thing is, though, you weren't even talking.
He's not there. It's only just you and me this time, Richard. Who is this Abe dude you're talking about?
Don't drag me into your conspiracy. Not this. All the other ones, fine. Yeah. The other one's fine. I'm with you. I'm with you, dude. I'm with anything you want me to do.
Hello?
Except that one. Is there anybody out there?
To be fair, I didn't.
I mean, I'm even in on the Obama.
I was in my own world.
The Obama Clinton thing. I'm even in on that. I'm in on that.
Yep.
To the hilt.
I know you are.
Not this one.
Not this one. Now, the other interesting thing, of course, is that the serious news story of the Obama inauguration has been reported by most of the major 24-hour news networks in the United States, along with, of course, their affiliates here in Australia. Which, of course, is Sky News, CNN Asia, they're the two. And Fox News, of course, which shows here in Australia through cable television.
Don't Nine have that bent?
What, that...
Hey, don't call Peter Oven and bent, all right? He's married.
Exactly right.
Isn't
to Jessica
great?
Rowe.
Isn't it great to see James Packer losing everything?
It is fantastic. It's actually been a
it's
great...
It's a shame his dad died, but it's great to see his son is a complete loser. Isn't
that? I think I know why.
Why?
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
This is my theory, right? James Packer, heavily influenced by Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon the people who run the company are offloading everything so he can go to Scientology and not give everything away.
That's
nice.
A great idea.
I like that idea.
That's that's my theory.
Yep. I've got a theory too.
That if you mix orange juice and milk, you vomit.
That's true. That he's going to offload everything so that he doesn't have to pay anything to Scientology.
You know,
I'm with you on that one.
That's really
that one,
good.
I'm with you.
That's really good. I wouldn't have thought of that.
No.
I'm pretty
sure.
You could probably
take a few days and think it through.
Mm. Work through it.
Work through it.
Workshop it.
Work it through with a pencil.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, who are you again?
Okay, the other big...
Hillary Clinton.
The big story...
Hello, Clinton.
The big story that that the American 24-hour news networks are working on at the moment... has to obviously do with the inauguration coming up on January 20th. There's...
Oh, no! You know what?
What?
Oh! I was actually going to be standing outside on January the 19th.
Oh!
I'm going to miss out. My flight back is on the 20th.
You're going to miss it?
I'm so disappointed.
However, they're, of course, doing run-throughs at the moment with Secret Service agents and whatever else. That is not the big story.
Oh!
The big story
That is a massive story.
Are you saying it's not on the 19th anymore?
No.
I thought it was on the 19th. Well, Have they moved it?
No, it's on the 20th here in Australia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it now.
Yeah, with you.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
See?
Got it.
Now we go.
Got
so,
it.
I'm so glad I'm pushing through today.
You are.
Wasn't Howard, didn't he say something about Al-Qaeda and...
No, you got that wrong.
I got
it wrong. So, the 24-hour news network's not reporting that. They're not reporting the fact that this, of course, will be the first African-American president. Mm-hmm. They're not reporting the fact that, Sarah Palin's still around.
Yeah, I was watching that. There's a Sarah Palin documentary that's coming out.
Yeah, about why we lost or...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, how we lost or why they stole it from us.org.
Yep.
It's a load of shit.
They're a total load of shit.
They are turning this Sarah Palin thing as if the media beat up on her. They didn't.
Like,
she's an idiot.
You know, Katie Couric, we don't need you.
Well, that's what NBC said.
And that's the name of the documentary.
That's what Matt Lauer had been saying for years and years.
The name of the documentary, I'm going to get it out. The name of the documentary is...
Sorry?
You are a twat.
No.
Absolute twat. Nope, that was a good gag. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Okay.
That was a funny gag.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was funnier.
Thank you.
That was funny.
Now, Katie Couric.
Yeah, Katie Couric.
Did you know she had a colonoscopy on the show?
I heard that.
Really?
She had a live colonoscopy.
So?
You told us that before.
So? They're not covered. The 24 News Networks aren't covering that. What they covered is the single most important story of this election cycle.
Looking forward to it. You know what they're
going to call the Sarah Palin documentary?
What?
No,
the single most important story they've been covering has been the Obama children's first day at school.
It was awesome.
It was. It was. They watched it from the beginning. Andrea Mitchell followed them.
Wow.
And then now they've got an injunction against her because she's
hard,
a stalker.
Though. It must be hard. Yeah.
You know the really fun thing, though? The Obama kids?
Yep.
They just had the Secret Service flushing other kids' heads down the toilet all day.
It must be hard,
Malia's going, that one.
Yeah, exactly.
That one.
The blonde one?
Yeah, do it.
To be the child of a president.
Yes.
And going to school.
Yep.
And, I mean, you get this warped perception, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just looking.
You must get this warped perception.
You, the ghost who's walking behind you.
Yeah. This warped perception of reality because, you know, no one's going to pick on you because you'll get shot.
Yeah.
Essentially, right? So there's going to be no bullies.
Leave the children alone.
Or anything.
Bullies.
No bullies.
They're going to get 20 out of 20 on all their homework because there's no way a teacher's going to like mark them down. That's just not going to happen.
Oh, okay. You're extending that. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry,
I'm working on it. I'm just building on it. Yeah. Building a mystery.
I just think it'd be a warped sense of reality.
I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'd be awesome. You get driven to school in a nice car. You go to school. You go home. Mm. I don't feel like doing my homework. Oh, that's okay. We'll just ring a Nobel Prize laureate to do it.
Or get the vice president to do it.
Yeah, no, that could take a while.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah. Joe Biden doesn't do your homework.
I don't think you'd want a Nobel Peace Prize laureate doing your maths.
Why?
Because they might not be good at maths.
They're good at peace.
Considering the last Nobel Peace Prize winner was a mathematician, I would think they'd be good at maths.
Who was the last Nobel Peace Prize winner?
That the gene guy, the DNA gene guy.
DNA gene guy.
Yeah, I know.
Gene, you know Gene DNA.
Yeah, I know him.
He's good. He's got a band. Garage band. He plays it on his PlayStation 3.
Gene Simmons.
That's the one. Now, of course the big story is
I don't think you'd want a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, Peace Prize.
Laureate writing your essays.
He could write really good essays.
For English.
That's how you get a Nobel Peace Prize, by writing a freaking essay.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a doctor.
Come on, get with the program, Richard. I try and be funny for once. Now,
Now, I noticed, actually, that on MSNBC...
Yes.
They,
Got one. I don't think you'd want your Nobel Peace Prize...
Priest Prize.
Yep.
Peace Laureate. Prize.
Laureate.
Laureate. Is that right?
Yep. With it.
Doing your general studies exam.
Except, of course, it was Al Gore. Because he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Mm-hmm. He'd be great for general studies.
He actually would be pretty good.
He could talk about the environment.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. And politics.
Politics, he's good at that.
He'd have a wide variety.
And he's been on 30 Rock. So he could talk about popular culture.
That's true as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they have a character of him on South Park.
Yeah,
so
they
could talk about the idea of someone using his personality.
Yeah.
Or the idea of... idolization.
Yeah, exactly
that's
right.
Good.
Yeah, deification.
Actually, he'd be a good role model for them too.
Yeah, he would be too. He'd be really good actually for writing general studies.
Now, I noticed that on MSNBC, they looked at the menu.
Yes, they did. They did.
The menu of what the kids were going to be eating. Yep. And I'm really upset because,
chicken.
Got it. Because, they have a whole day of Mexican food?
I know.
What is with that? What if you don't
like think
Mexican
food?
How would you be in that Secret Service car with like the bulletproof glass windows? Be like a Dutch oven. I don't...
Hey, do you think they have bulletproof glass in the windows now at the school?
I probably do, I suspect.
I don't think you'd want.
And there's not a teacher with a single dodgy name.
Ah, but a gas mask. Yeah. Dutch oven.
A Nobel Peace Prize...
Laureate, yep.
Doing your history exam.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that.
Okay, see, Nelson Mandela was once... a Nobel Peace Prize laureate.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He'd be great for a history exam because he could actually show you the history of repression and rebellion.
Good
how
point.
You go from an oppressive society and you through the power of people, the power of you know of
so
of,
true.
Of will actually break that oppression and through peaceful rebellion initiate a change of government.
Good idea. Yep. That's good.
I don't think you'd want your Nobel Peace Prize doing your math homework.
Yeah, okay,
fair point.
A Walk in the Black Forest.
I'd just like to say, that sucked
massively. With Smash It Up from a live album, Mindless Reckless Energy, live at the Lyceum 1981. That, of course, features the classic lineup of The Damned, which had Rats, Gabies, Captain Sensible, Dave Vanian, and Paul Gray.
It sounds... you would love it on the single version.
That is the worst song I've ever heard.
On the single,
Offspring did a cover of it.
It's crap.
I know. But I'm just giving him a modern cover reference.
Excuse me, was it any worse than that?
Yep.
Yes, it was.
You're kidding me. Hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have... This is, unfortunately, probably one of the darkest times we have ever been in.
Well, it is night.
That's true.
Maybe turn a light on us, not that dark. Light. Actually, have you seen the moon recently? Very bright.
Yeah.
Very
bright.
Full moon the other night, Pete.
Yep. Woo!
Now, the
so
Daily Telegraph...
How's that, my levels? How's that?
So the, glad I waxed beforehand.
The Daily Telegraph... The Daily Telegraph has officially declared,
nothing,
of course, that...
Pete's on a trail, and in 10 minutes...
Roller,
in 10 minutes' time, he'll go...
Roller.
He'll In 10 minutes' time, Pete will go, lucky I waxed.
You think it'll take 10 minutes? Now, the Daily Telegraph has declared that this is the worst outlook since the Keating era.
Really?
I think that was probably written by one P. Ackerman.
Is that now,
I think it is. I think this, well, that has certainly been the worst outlook since version 5.
Jeez, had to get that one in, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. That's two outlook jokes in the space of like 15 minutes.
Did you guys see the launch thing the other day for, was it Windows
7?
Internet Explorer 7?
No.
Yeah, I watched it actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite interesting.
7 or 8.
Is that the one that stars Paul Rudd and Sean William Scott?
I got confused too, dude, because I thought 7 was out now.
Yeah, it is, but 8's in beta, so they probably showed that off.
Whatever, it's a new one today. Windows 7. And to be honest with you, it's
the one that stars...
The replacement for Vista.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You'd have that, wouldn't you, Pete?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's
it
right.
Looks... It's the add-on to XP.
Mm. So I don't need that with OS 10. Anyway,
so it's really interesting, but I've got to admit, it's ugly.
But you've got to get a Windows box like the rest of us.
It's ugly.
I know.
It's really... I don't think it's going to work. They're really going to have to do something about it, because it's really not that attractive.
Really? Why?
It's one of those things where they say, oh, it's the ultimate in the, you know, the connection between your networking sites and your work, right? Mm. And so they've got this revolutionary idea.
Where do your porn sites fit into that?
Well, mine'd fit all over it, but I don't know where yours are going to fit. So, hard hut. Go there. So anyway, the...
I'm making shit up now.
So anyway...
Hard hut.
Do I look it up?
Hard hut.
Oh, just show it now. Sure. If you're at
look
home,
right,
yeah, just look it up.
Right.
Enjoy. Oh, he's going to look it up. Interactivity.
Interactivity, yes, people. And this is...
So,
yeah.
Can I just... So anyway, the interesting
hard
thing is...
Hard hut. Is that .com or .org?
The
is
thing
that
is,
a drive-thru?
The thing is... Actually, yeah. It's got two drive-thrus, actually. No, three.
Nice.
Now, interestingly enough, the...
But only if you got 17-inch rims, is that right?
Oh, it'd be hard if you got 17. Yeah, right. So anyway, point being, they...
You've lost your train of thought, haven't you?
The big thing they were talking about was...
How's the hat ongoing, Pete? Yeah?
I'm
working on it.
The big thing they were talking about was Messenger. Now...
Oh, yeah, Instant Messenger. It's a new thing. What you can do is you can get on there and you can chat to other people.
Mm,
it's great.
It was, and the girl who was doing the demonstration...
You should get it.
That's a piece of technology I would have never even thought would have existed. You know, so long ago, I just remember sitting there with a telephone. Now you can instant... Wow.
No, Pete, we've moved on. Instant messaging's the new thing.
You know the other thing that's really exciting? Do you know the thing that they spent a good 5 minutes on?
What?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not exaggerating...
Yep.
Animated display pictures.
Wow.
For your Messenger.
Oh, nice.
So excited.
Nice. Are these ones that, like, you know, like use 5 or 6 pictures in a row in quick succession and sort of like almost like an animation?
Yeah, almost like
they can't do that, can they?
Almost like a GIF file.
Oh.
Wow.
Ah, there we go. Hard hut.
Are you there?
I'm at hard hut.
Give me a look.
Are you there yet? Are you there yet?
I didn't realize that was the meaning of the word cheeseburger.
Give me the freaking phone.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It recognises the site. Now,
now
he's interested in my phone. And now someone's going to go, my wife's going to pick up my phone saying, you're looking at pornography, you dirty, dirty man!
Wow,
look, there's porn in there!
I so have
there's
to get an iPhone. What am I doing at work? An iPhone.
And then you had... No.
Oh, anyway,
now, this is the worst outlook since the Keating era.
Yeah. Outlook 6.
It says, back to the bad old days for job hunters. They are anticipating a 9% jobless rate. 500,000 Australians could be looking for work. There actually is nearly 500,000 Americans are losing their job every month at the moment. But what I think...
That's the Bush legacy, isn't it, Pete?
What I think's really, really sad is that, you know, our job hunters, with their various requirements they have through Centrelink, are now required to dress up like 1930s Depression era unemployed and stand in lines. I think that is a disgraceful abuse of power by Centrelink.
But if they're making good money, Pete...
They're not.
Don't be, you know, some people can't get a job that easily, so this might be a good, you know, equity rates.
That's true. You're right. Yeah, it's true. Daily rate for you're right. Yeah, good point, Richard.
Well,
I
know
that.
Plus lunch and stuff.
Yeah, no,
you
good
know
point.
The other good thing about this?
What?
All those milliners now have jobs.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and those hat makers?
Yep. Dude, that is a freaking hat maker. What are you doing? All those milliners and the hat makers.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said before.
Are you just going to repeat everything I say?
It's been my career for the last 12 years.
You know, the other thing about this as well is this is a whole new industry in black and white photography.
Yes, it is.
A whole new industry.
Exactly right. You know, it's putting people back at work who are in work. Remember the 1970s where they used to do those fake, like, old Sydney town shots?
Yes.
They're back into job.
That's fantastic.
Come on!
I was trying to do something and it just wasn't going to work. Oh, hello. Hello, sailor. How do I get back?
Oh, dear. Once again, it gives new meaning to the term, can I have fries with that? Anyway.
I think it's already had fries with that.
I think it has. Oh, dear. Now, I'm not putting that picture on the side. There's no way. Now, the other thing that we need to point out here is the fact that I just have just lost. Richard's joking. It's just... choking. Anyway, I'm done. I think we should play a song. We'll be back. This is Work by Forest 2RRR 88.5 FM.
I love these iPhones. I totally have to... Oh, what's that?
Really?
Yep.
Good.
This is Work by Forest 2RRR 88.5 FM. Now, historical revisionism is a really important part of any political legacy.
I love it.
John Howard, of course, will soon be historically revisioning himself so that he didn't lose the last election, nor
Isn't
did he lose his seat.
Freedom warrior?
He's a freedom warrior now, a US Medal of Freedom warrior.
Actually, interestingly enough, I heard a really interesting rumor this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Mary McKillop is going to be beatified?
Well, she's already beatified. She's going to be
sainted, whatever.
I can't remember the word for being made into a saint. But anyway,
in the Catholic Church, I think it's Roger.
So yeah, that's it. That's one. Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
John Howard's actually didn't get there before her.
I've heard that.
I'm pretty sure. There was a number of miracles.
Saint Tool.
Yes, that's right. He's Irish. Saint O'Toole.
Saint O'Toole. Yes, there were a number of miracles. Winning the election before last, that was one of them.
And I think the way that he turned Australian society against those already in Australian society was a miracle.
I think so too.
And
the way he convinced people that children were in fact thrown overboard when there wasn't.
Hallelujah.
Now, because there is historical revisionism already occurring within Qantas, the fact that they refer to John Howard as the Prime Minister, as if he hadn't already lost.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. When you talk about historical revisionism, it's now gone back the other way.
Yep.
I think everybody now knows what Howard was really like.
Yes.
And if you read Gerard Henderson, if you can be bothered reading Gerard Henderson in the Herald each morning, this whole supporting Howard and the great Howard legacy, it's a comedy read.
Yes.
It's a comedy read because things have flipped so back the other way now.
That's true. And even...
Do you think that it would have taken that... Look, didn't we say that? We said about a year before people would realise that it's...
Yeah, and even Piers Ackerman is not referring to Howard as, you know, the great unwashed hero of the Australian worker anymore. Mm. Piers Ackerman, of course, does hammer into Kevin Rudd. He doesn't like Kevin Rudd very much.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, that's a massive turnaround for Piers, because before the election, he was rooting for Rudd like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
But you're right. No. Gerard Henderson has, shall we say, put his Howard love back on the shelf.
Strange perspective on reality.
He's got a very strange perspective on reality. However, George W. Bush, of course, is now
he
working...
He was saying this morning, in fact, do you know how Andrew just... Was it Andrew? Harry. Harry just got in trouble for mouthing
calling one of his fellow soldiers a packy.
Yep.
I believe.
And another one a towelhead.
That's exactly the other word that was used. Yep.
Can I just say, I think that's unfair. The guy was walking around with a towel on his head.
So Jared Henderson's
take on this?
Take on this. Mm-hmm. His big lesson for people.
Don't speak to the media.
It was don't say things when the cameras are rolling.
That was his big
moral lesson there.
You know what? That would mean that he'd never be on The Insiders again. That'd be good.
Oh, I like that. So that's still running that show. It's got cred.
Yeah, it's got a lot of cred.
Serious cred. Is it any good?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best shows.
It's off air at the moment.
It is. It's back in February. And of course, for those of you overseas, if you want to learn about Australian politics and you want to see a fairly in-depth discussion program and about the only one on Australian television worth watching.
Oh, Meet the Press, what's going on there?
Exactly. Go to the ABC website, abc.net.au, and you can download Insiders in all its glory. And you can even do that from outside Australia, unlike the BBC, which doesn't let you use its iPlayer outside of England.
I'm just going to say that, dude. I was just going to say that.
I know. Well, you should.
In fact, Sci-Fi Channel in the States doesn't either.
Don't they? You've got to be inside the US to do that?
Yes, I know this, yes.
Bastards.
Stargate.
Yes, I know.
So, now George Bush is just about to end his 8-year tendency in the White House.
God, it's only been 8 years.
His tendency. Did he have a tendency to be president?
That was about all he had, really.
Actually, some people would argue no.
No. He certainly didn't have a talent. Because he is now working on his legacy. Now, he has often said that his presidency will be judged not now, but in 10 years' time, once the success of Iraq is demonstrated
for the disaster it really was.
Demonstrated to the rest of the world.
The fine line between.
If you listen to what his apparatchiks are saying, that Iraq's
apparatchiks.
Is he employing?
I
know you do.
Is he employing Native Americans? That's incredible.
I know.
That's a massive step for any American presidents, because the apparatchiks have been thrown off the reservation.
Yep.
They got nowhere to go.
They don't even have a casino.
I'm impressed.
Now, what's interesting is that
if they did, James Packer may have lost more money off it.
So the legacy he's working on at the moment is he's going through all the major failures of his presidency.
it took him a week and a half.
No, it's taken him about 8 years.
Has he admitted any, Pete?
No. He's admitted that Iraq, he said they should have done more in Afghanistan. That's the current line that Cheney's played. That's the current line that Bush has played. Dana Perino's played. Even Condoleezza Rice is saying that reality is the one area they probably haven't done that well is in Afghanistan, which, funnily enough, is to most people, and I'm not most people, but to most people, the only morally acceptable war that Bush started.
You know, I'd have to say, dude, I saw about three people this week who did look a bit like you, so I think we could say you are most people.
Okay, fair enough.
In fact, you are the common denominator in this room. You're the voice of the people.
You are the common man.
I am the common man.
Now, the big failure...
You are the epitome of a common man.
I am the most common person here.
The common...
Now,
I don't know about that.
The big failure, of course, that occurred early in Bush's second term was Hurricane Katrina. Now,
don't think it was a good idea. I don't think they should have done it. Hurricane. Of all the things in the world to do, a hurricane?
I know. You should have thought about it. And to call it Katrina?
Yeah, you know
why? Fast fighter, though.
You can either spell it with a K or a C.
That's true.
That's not good.
So, the big failure, of course, was the fact that the response of the Bush administration to Katrina, there were three particular responses that most people thought were not particularly appropriate. One was the fact that he flew Air Force One over... Over the destroyed areas of New Orleans and didn't land. So there was these horrible images of Bush just looking down at these people screaming for help, and he's flying in plush luxury in Air Force One. Number two was
with his golf clubs. Don't forget that.
With his golf clubs. And failure number two, of course, was his stupid criticism of FEMA director Michael Brown, where when he did land, said, "Brownie, you're doing a good job." Or I think it's actually, "You're doing a good job, Brownie." And the third one was that he didn't actually send any assistance in the form of National Guard, Army, or Reservists, or troops, for somewhere in the vicinity of about 5 days.
It took quite a while.
Now, all three of those are considered to be fairly major failures of administration in a city that was one of the most impoverished and poor in the United States. Funnily enough, one of the most African-American cities in the United States. But also where, like, thousands of people died because of those failures.
And we don't hear about it anymore, do we?
No, you don't. And it's interesting, you look at some of the rebuilding effort that's occurring in there. The government's just left it all to the state government of Louisiana.
I don't know how they're affording it, to be honest.
Now, Bush has said that he's thought long and hard about Katrina. This was in his final press conference. He was asked about it.
What about the hurricane, though?
He didn't talk about that.
Okay.
He just talked about Katrina.
And, you know, I've got to admit...
And he likes most of the people down there.
Yeah,
long and hard about Katrina. I've always thought about that.
I've got to admit, I think many of us, in our lonely times, in the times when we're not too sure of ourselves, have thought about...
Long and hard about Katrina.
Have thought about...
Pete's iPhone.
Have thought about Katrina Roundtree.
No, I haven't, actually.
Well, you've got a freaking iPhone. You don't need to.
Yeah, fair point. So, he said that he's thought long and hard about Katrina. You know, he says, you know, could I have done something differently? Now, considering those three basic failures were considered to be the framing point of his second term of his presidency, it has sent his popularity as president to the lowest records on level where it has consistently stayed for 4 years. Arguably, it could have... I hate it when he mirrors me. It could have had some result on the loss of the White House to Obama... it certainly galvanized the American population against Republican leadership. It certainly contributed to the Democratic taking of both houses of Congress in 2006.
That's probably more the fact that their kids are being sent away and dying in a war.
That has a little bit to do as well, but I think it galvanized a lot of that too.
I think it was a turning point for the media.
Yeah.
Because before that, the media was so pro-Bush, so pro-government, and that was a point when the media turned and went, wait a minute. This government actually is fallible, and yes, in a time of war, we can criticise the government.
And that we've got all these troops over there trying to protect a country halfway around the world, yet we can't send anyone into New Orleans to rescue people off rooftops and, you know, off people off bridges with the sign, those big signs saying, help us.
Well, as you may remember, the National Guard, one of the National Guard regiments in New Orleans, in Louisiana, is the airlift command.
Yep.
And the airlift command were in Iraq. They got in their planes and flew home.
Yeah.
And so, effectively, what happened was they were told to return, and they said, well, either we're flying home to help our people, or you're going to have to shoot us down.
Yeah.
And so they let them go.
Yeah, fair enough,
And that was it. They packed up all their stuff, and they went home.
So, Bush was asked, with all that, if he'd do anything different. And the answer is, he said, no.
Great.
He said, maybe I could have landed Air Force One in either New Orleans or Baton Rouge. The problem with that, and is that law enforcement would have been pulled away from the mission in Iraq. Bush...
Didn't he say that he shouldn't have used the 7-iron on the fourth hole?
I think he did, actually. Yeah. Really should have used the wedge.
And yeah. I really don't think it's a good idea to bring up Katrina at that point. What Katrina likes is entirely different.
People said, well, the federal response was slow. Don't tell me the federal response was slow.
Mm. Well, everyone did.
They did. When there were 30,000 people pulled off roofs right after the storm passed, said Bush, his voice rising as he tapped his finger for emphasis on the lectern. 30,000 people were pulled off roofs right after the storm moved through. It's a pretty quick response. Shall we talk about the 200,000 or 300,000 other people who weren't?
That's right. The 200,000 or 300,000 other people who are black. Is that
that's probably
yes,
it,
yes.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah. Or not famous musicians.
Yeah,
they were equally airlifted.
There's always that. Now, it's interesting because the Katrina thing was a big problem.
Bo Diddley. He was airlifted.
He was definitely
Someone famous drowned, though.
Airlifted.
No, that was a rumour. It never actually happened.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Well, that just rules that point. I'll leave. No, it's interesting that the Katrina thing, as you say, was a massive failure by the government. Mm. And if you looked at Bush's press conference today at all, I don't know whether you saw it, but... He came across as a bumbling idiot, mainly because he is a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
And really, as you're talking about legacy and stuff to start off with, this is the time where he can fix that.
Yeah.
He needs to get up, act like a man, and not seem like a bumbling idiot. And really, today, he was being laughed at. Well, honestly, the journalists in the press conference were laughing at him.
And if you look at some of the interviews that he's done, as I said, he's done interviews with... you know, CNN, he's done interviews with Meet the Press on NBC. And
I think
he's
meeting with Katie Couric later. They're both having a colonoscopy at the same time.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Does that mean Dick Cheney's got to be president again? So, and he's had this opportunity to actually address things like Iraq, to address, say, for example, the mission accomplished.
Cucumber.
Faith. A stupid thing that he did.
And the fake turkey, remember the fake turkey?
Yeah, the turkey.
That's hilarious.
To address the failings.
The upside down book.
Now, it's interesting, you know, there was an interview that was with, It was one senior Republican, George, and it was like, and it was like, well, you know what? The whole failing of the economy. This George Bush isn't to blame for that. The people you've got to blame is the Democratic Congress and Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton?
Mm. Yeah, so they've now gone back and started to blame Bill Clinton for things. Now, it's part of the rhetoric that the Republicans are driving, is that a lot of the Obama congressional team, a lot of the Obama, cabinet team, are in fact former Clinton advisers.
You know, that sounds like what John Howard was doing 13 years into the John Howard reign. They were still blaming Keating and Hawke. In fact, I think they were blaming Gough at some point or another.
Well, if you look at...
13 years!
But we talked in the Telegraph today. The Telegraph is basically saying that this recession is the worst we've had since Keating. So in other words, linking it back to, we only seem to have recessions when Labor is in power.
Pity about the one they had with Malcolm Fraser.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. No, that didn't happen.
When John Howard was the Treasurer.
Yeah, no. No, he was never Treasurer. No. He was always Prime Minister. He was always Prime Minister. He wasn't even opposition leader, ever. He was just Prime Minister.
Prime Minister in waiting.
No, I think the issue with Bush and his legacy is a difficult one, because there is enough belief out there that he is, in fact, probably the worst president America's ever had.
Well, certainly it's hard to mention another one, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean...
People used to laugh at Carter, didn't they? You know, the Lebanon thing, all that, his unfortunate daughter, stuff like that. They used to laugh at him. And Nixon, you know, being corrupt and stuff like that. But really, Bush, hands down, modern era. Because think about the media, right? They always want footage, and they want photos, they want pictures, they want movie images. Who are they going to use?
Yeah.
Bush.
Yeah, of course.
The guy's a fool.
And for the last year and a half, Letterman on The Late Show has been doing this segment called Great Moments in Presidential Speeches, which is, you know, okay, it's a rather obvious gag. But I don't think Bush is ever going to have... he hasn't had a defining moment of the greatness of his presidency.
Mm.
He has had many defining moments of failure.
Mm.
Because ultimately, three things occurred with the Bush presidency. Number one, he wasn't really the power in that presidency. In that presidency was clearly the people connected to his father.
Mm. Cheney.
And which is Cheney,
that's right.
Which was Rumsfeld, which was
it's the same
Wolfowitz.
Yeah, same government back again, just a different figurehead.
Now, the interesting part, of course, that, and I think I talked about this on last week's show, is that there were stories from Bush Sr. before they met, all five living presidents met in the White House this week. But just before that, Bush Sr. saying that Jeb is now preparing himself for a run for the White House.
Well, he may be preparing for a run, but I think he might miss it somehow.
That's very true.
You know, isn't it funny how they use... they use Cheney as kind of their person.
Mm.
You know, Cheney's their person with Bush Sr., their person with Bush Jr. He's a linking guy.
He is.
So, I mean, there's always the... I talked before about the organization, the Project for the New American Century, which is basically this group of influential Americans who believe that America will be the great world empire, and how will they go about doing that? And that's putting military bases in countries, starting wars, things like that. That's basically what they do.
The Bush Doctrine.
Yeah, consolidating power, which actually, strangely enough, is almost communist in some of its things. You know, centralizing power, having state-owned corporations, things like that. And he's one of the forerunners in this organization. Now, it's interesting that he's stayed around. How could Cheney have stayed around so long?
I mean, the guy's had like 97 heart attacks.
Yeah, and he's just a constant failure, really.
Is he a big supporter of state-owned organisations, is he?
Well, it comes to certain state-owned things. Well, absolutely. Mm. It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a
But it's the other side of it as well. He's also a big fan, not so much of state-owned organisations, but also of single private-owned organisations acting with the power and impunity as if they were government-owned organisations.
So Halliburton.
Mm, Blackwater.
And it's interesting because we're always talking about Blackwater, we're always talking about Halliburton and stuff like that, but the US, particularly sections of the Pentagon, but generally out of the Pentagon, use a private military contractor called DynCorp.
Yep.
And DynCorp are armed by the US military, and they have, you know, uniforms and planes. They have fighter planes, they have boats, they have all this kind of stuff. Like, they're much bigger than any of the other corporations.
Mm.
And one of the things that Cheney and those kind of people, particularly Wolfowitz, was talking about was outsourcing these large-scale military operations.
Yep.
And they're a big push of these private security contractors, which is why Cheney's in charge of you know, Halliburton and stuff like that. So whether it's security or catering or whatever it might be, transport, their idea is that basically these corporations act as an arm of the government.
Yeah.
Which is incredible when you think about it. Imagine if you know, Subway, for instance, could act with the power of a government. you know, okay, well, we're just going to feed everyone. Shut everyone else down. We're just going to feed you Subway. Isn't that an odd thing, though?
But that's arguably not a bad thing, feeding everybody, though.
No, well, no, but you wouldn't feed the poor people. You'd only feed the people who can afford it. Mm. Correct.
Oh, and instead of it costing $7 for a sub, it would cost $700 for a sub.
Yeah.
And we'd end up paying for it because we're the taxpayer.
But then it's also the ability, for example, to use, and I wouldn't say Subway would do this because this, of course, would be bad to suggest, but Subway could use, you know, inferior ingredients and poison whole cities.
That's also
true. And act with entire impunity.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they could get the government to pay for all the ingredients, not only, and the transportation, and then charge the government for catering to people whom the people would actually still buy it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So the last thing we need is the government owning anything.
Exactly right, Richard. I think
we should sell everything off.
Yep.
And let the free market decide.
I think so too, you're right.
Yeah.
I think you've got it.
I think so.
And if you disagree, there's a guy from DynCorp just outside.
Yes.
He's knocking on the door.
Cool.
He's the one in the body armour.
So, the interesting thing I'd want to talk about, once again going back to the Bush legacy, is how much does Bush, how much is Bush able to control his own legacy? Now, the interesting thing is, I actually would disagree.
That's why I said it.
I actually think he is completely able to control his own legacy. If he was a smart enough politician, which he's not, because he's fucking stupid.
Yes. And now he's going to be missing all the people who say made him seem smart.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to have these paid employees
and
anymore.
And speechwriters and whatever else.
But get to your reason, because I'm going to challenge you.
Because I think if he was a smart enough politician, he could make a strong, persuasive argument at a simplistic level that the 24-hour news networks would drive initially, then the main news networks would drive, and then Global Press would drive, that his presidency was not a failure and you should wait and see. The thing is, he can't drive that narrative because he's too stupid. Now, watching the press conference, he just sits there and just giggles along. As if, you know, the death of thousands of Americans in Iraq is a bit of a joke. Now, I know that's not the way he treats it, but
He would have, especially now that he's leaving, he would have organisations lined up to promote him. And one of the suggestions they would make would be exactly that, you know, so...
No, I agree, and he's going to write a book, like most former presidents.
Howard's a smart man, and he's failed.
Yeah, but Howard's an interesting one.
No, he's not.
No, he's not, actually. He's a boring shit. But
on Richard's point there...
It's a good point, isn't it, Abe?
It's a good point, but ultimately it's flawed. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is...
That ripped off.
No, but he's a good point, dude. I get what you're saying. Yeah, he'll have private firms, and the Bushes will be spending a fortune to make him seem like a great guy. I can't believe how many times I've hit this frickin' microphone today. But, on the other hand, there's so much evidence, so much footage, you know, things are written down, things that people still remember in living...
The Bushisms.
Yeah, in living
memory.
But
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But it contradicts your point.
No,
because
it doesn't.
The thing is, he could write the greatest book in the world. It could be fantastic. He can say, oh, the world should have peace. This is how we should do it. And all people are going to go back and go and look at is you going...
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because Pete
is that what you're saying?
Because Pete's saying, if he was a smarter man, he could pull it off. What I'm saying is, he can't pull it off because the evidence is there. Even the smartest marketing firm or whatever couldn't pull it off. He can't pull
it off. I'm going to agree with you for a second.
And then say that it's flawed?
No. I'm going to agree with you for a second. Because Clinton is a smart man.
He's very smart man.
The Clinton presidency...
I mean, who's pulled it off when they've been a complete twat? I guess you can't really say that because otherwise they would
have
pulled
it off. Monica Lewinsky, she pulled him
but
off.
There's my point. And there's
all
my,
over the front of a dress.
There's my point. My point is actually about Clinton. Clinton's a smart man.
Well, you should have said Clinton and not Bush.
Clinton's a smart man. Yet his presidency, still, particularly by right-wing commentators, hello Bill O'Reilly if you're not listening, is that his presidency is completely flawed because basically he did have sexual relations with that woman. And everything about Clinton goes back to that, or back to his pardoning of Mark Riley, or back to Mark Riley, or his, or the Whitewater scandal, and of course all of this is now hitting Hillary because she is getting investigated for the works of her husband.
So she should be because she was
an active collected works.
An active partner in the government. She should be too.
But what I'm saying is that ultimately
I don't think you can pull it off. There's too much media and there's too much evidence of anything in this world.
Is there any president in living memory, or not even in living memory, in modern history, that has got away from the presidency without some fundamental issue impacting upon it? You've got JFK, who is now...
You're only talking US presidents.
Only US presidents. JFK, who's basically been put up as a philanderer...
Yeah,
and all that. You've got who followed JFK?
That man.
LBJ, who was responsible for carpet bombing of various
Nixon
Asian countries.
Got away with it. He was a clean skin.
Oh yeah, Nixon's a total clean skin. Gerald Ford lost an election because he was just considered to be a failure. Carter has the stink of Lebanon and the Iran hostage situation.
What about the really old ones, Pete?
Reagan probably is one of
Abraham
the very few that's
Lincoln.
Got away with it. No, I'm talking modern history.
Oh, right. The funny thing about Reagan is he's almost seen as royalty.
Yes.
Because when they brought him in, they wanted him to be the antithesis of the Kennedys.
Yeah.
An empire as such. You know,
the scary thing is that I think he was more insane than Bush was.
Reagan?
Yeah.
I think he was too.
But he was completely out of touch.
Mm.
And they just had people behind the scenes running it, probably very similarly to Bush.
Mm.
Unfortunately, what happens is Bush has got the ego. See,
Reagan was an actor.
I was just going to say that. Reagan knew he was an actor playing a role. In fact, he even said that. People behind the scenes say Reagan was an actor playing a role.
Yeah.
You know, really, he was an old man. But when he stood up, he was a big man, big broad chest, you know.
Yeah. He could speak his lines without Bushisms.
Without hesitating.
Without hesitating, without saying stupid things, without saying that, you know, sort of like, you know, all the now famous Bush quotes.
And he liked Star Wars, apparently.
I heard that. Now, but it's interesting, and then you go directly to Bush Senior, of course, whose failure has created Bush Junior.
You know, it's interesting.
Well,
Bush Senior pretty much got away with everything.
Yeah,
the only thing Bush Senior didn't get away with
was winning an election.
Bush.
Was Bush Junior.
Bush Junior. Yes.
That's winning
a second term.
The first invasion of Iraq
pretty
much got off almost okay without too much of a fuss.
Yeah, because all the stuff about that the failure of that war came out after his presidency.
Yeah.
And don't forget who ran that war. Two relatively smart generals, Schwarzkopf and Powell.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, both of them are smart guys. Mm. Powell particularly is a smart
Powell's
guy.
Powell's looking pretty cosy.
Powell is looking good, actually.
Obscure
1970s rock reference, but I like it.
Yeah. Both of whom are supposed to be having some kind of role in the Obama cabinet advisory board.
Yes.
Certainly Powell, for sure.
I've heard that. Anyway, we shall be back next week. Of course, go to our website, www.warpbyforest.org, and download heaps and heaps of stuff. Show number 314 next week, I believe.
That's right. Now, next week, we're actually putting the show up on Hard Hut.
Yeah.
So we want you to go to hardhut.com, have a look at it, and look for us.
Oh, I've got that joke
now. Nowhere in the small print does it say I can be naked.
Yes. I've got that joke now.
Oh, good.
I'll do it next week.